Luke chapter 14 and reading from verse 12. Jesus said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But Jesus said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a field, I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry, and he said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'What you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges, and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" Here ends our reading.
Thanks a lot, Stephen. Now, many of you know, most of you probably know, I used to be a primary school teacher. That was my first job. I used to be a P6 teacher. And every day as being a teacher, I always had a queue at my desk. Probably every teacher's the same. First thing in the morning, you had the queue of people with their excuses why they hadn't brought their homework in. And usually it was the same old reasons. You know, I left my homework with my granny's. I have done it, but left it at my granny's. Or I did it on my computer and I went to print it out, but no ink in the printer. Have it done, but not able to bring it in. I must say, I never heard the famous one, "The dog ate my homework." But there usually was a queue of excuses. And the one day, part of the day as a primary school teacher that I dreaded was coming back to the classroom after the lunch break. That's the worst part of the day for any teacher. There was always this queue of children with their excuses, trying to explain their misdemeanors during the lunch break. I didn't mean to punch him 3 times in the head. I just fell over. And you had to listen to all these things, and you had to decide, was it a legitimate reason, or was it just a feeble excuse? Excuses, excuses, excuses. Not every child is good at English. Not every child is good at maths. Not every child is good at science, but every child is great at making excuses. Do you know why? Because they're human. And as human beings, we have inherited that from our first parents. So Adam and Eve, we are directed at sin from them. They both sinned. They both messed up in the Garden of Eden. And what did they do? Well, they made excuses. They tried to blame others. As the old joke goes, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the snake, and the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. And all, I know it's a Lindsay Allen kind of joke. Apologies for that there. But excuses, excuses, excuses. And what Stephen has just read to us as we continue our series on the parables is known as the parable of excuses. Jesus tells a story about 3 people. They were invited to a great feast, a great banquet. They all said they were going to go, but when it came to the actual time to arrive, they made 3 feeble excuses to avoid the great feast. And as Jesus told this parable, he was actually sitting down at a feast himself. He was sitting at a dinner party. We see that at verse 1 of chapter 14. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. So he's sitting at this dinner party, a great meal. Somebody important, a ruler of the Pharisees. And these religious men, the Pharisees, they're watching him. Do you pick that up in verse 1? Watching him carefully. They were the religious police, saying, would he slip up on the things he said? Could he find fault in this man? And as he's sitting at this dinner party, Jesus tells a parable all about a feast, a parable that we read about in verse 7, from 7 through to 11. I preached on it a couple of weeks ago. And as Jesus gave that parable, he was really giving instructions to the other guests. He was saying, when you get invited to a feast, don't take the most important seats. Don't try and grab them as if you're somebody really important. Take the lowly seats. Take the humble place. And he was teaching about humility. And then he continues this feast theme in another story that he tells that Stephen read to us this morning. And he's given instructions, first of all, to the guests, take the lowly seat. And then he gives some instructions to the host. If you're hosting a dinner party, this is what you do. Let's read verses 12 to 14 again. He also said to the man who had invited him, so the host of the dinner, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And what he's saying here, the point of that little instruction is, if you want to show real hospitality, don't invite those who can repay you. Don't invite your family members, your friends. I'm sure it's not a blanket ban, never invite them, but don't that be your reason. I'm going to invite my family and friends. I'll have a dinner party, get them over, knowing that one time they'll invite me over to their house and we'll get a few dinner parties out of exchanging hospitality. Instead, when you throw a great feast, invite the people you would never think about. Invite the poor, invite the needy, invite those who'll never be able to repay you. Who'll never be able to turn around and say, come back to my house sometime and let's reciprocate this. Let's have a great meal at my time. No. If you want to show real hospitality, invite those people in who will never be able to repay you. You will be rewarded for that. Not in this life. You won't get an invite back to another dinner party, but in the resurrection of the just. In the coming judgment, God himself will reward you for your goodness, for your kindness, and for your hospitality. Now let's pause there. Before we move on to the parable that we really want to concentrate on, the parable of excuses, I wonder, do we ever do that? Showing hospitality is a biblical thing to do. Read that in your New Testament. The early church was the church that showed hospitality, who opened their homes, who opened their meal tables, and showed their love and care for other people. So if you're a Christian here this morning, hospitality needs to be part of your life. It's a biblical thing. It's a good thing to do. But who do we invite? We're having a dinner party, a little supper club. Just our little circle of friends. Nice little social evening. Knowing that we're going to get an invite back to their house at some other stage. Let's look at verse 13 again. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Those are the outcasts of the day. Those are the people who would never, ever be given an invite. The Pharisees would never, ever have had those people at their table. Those people would have been at a disgrace to have in your home and eat at your table. Jesus says, no, bring those people in, the undesirables of such society. Now, these words are words that came from the very mouth of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, when he taught this, he meant that literally, you're showing hospitality, open your doors to people who don't deserve it. Isn't that a picture of the gospel itself? God himself opens his arms lovingly and graciously and invites people to come, people who don't deserve it. When you have a meal, that's what you do. Open your doors and bring people in. What a challenge. Do we do that? Has that even got a part of our thinking as we show hospitality and love and care to people? And then Jesus Christ is interrupted by one of the guests who's sitting at the table. And it's a man who comes out with a real spiritual statement. Let's look at verse 15. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, the religious Jews, the people like the Pharisees who were sitting around this table, pictured the coming kingdom of God like a great feast. They knew that one day there would be a great feast in heaven. And at this great feast, the patriarchs, people like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets who had gone before, they would be the honored guests. They would be the ones sitting in the most important seats. And as a religious Pharisee, this speaker assumed that he would be present. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And so his thoughts have turned to heaven, and he's thinking about this great feast that will take place there one day, and what a fantastic time that will be. How blessed it will be to be sitting there at the table with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob and with all the prophets as well. Now, if we'd been present there when he said those things, if we'd been sitting around that table with the Pharisees, we probably would have nodded our heads, and we would have been impressed with this guy. Wasn't it great that somebody sitting at this table has spiritual thoughts? And he's sharing these spiritual thoughts with all the guests at the table. How blessed it will be to sit in that table one day in heaven. This is a spiritual guy. He's thinking about heavenly things. But that wasn't what was going through Jesus' mind when he said those words. Because Jesus knew his real mind and he knew his real heart. And he knew that this man would not be a true follower. This man would listen to find fault in Jesus. He wasn't listening to respond and to follow Jesus' call of the kingdom of God. As this man spoke here, it was just pious religious talk. And so what Jesus does is he tells a story that we call a parable, not to amuse his ears, not to entertain the guests. Here's a little after-dinner kind of talk, a little story to keep you going. He tells a parable to challenge the hearts, challenge the heart of the man who made the spiritual statement and those also who are sitting around the table. The story also involves a great banquet. Invites have been given out. Come along to this great party that's going to happen. And people have responded. They've responded, Paul said, I'd love to come. Wouldn't miss it for the world. This sounds impressive. I want to go along to this great feast that I've been invited to. Now, in Bible times, they would have done things a little bit differently from how we do them today. The invite would go out from the host of the wedding. I'm going to have a great feast. Would you like to come along? You knew there was going to be a party. You knew there was going to be a banquet. You weren't exactly sure when it was going to be. You didn't have a watch like we wear today. You knew it was going to happen sometime soon. And after the initial invite had gone out, the host and his servants would start to do all the preparations, organize the table, go and get the food ready, maybe butcher the animals that were going to be cooked and served, decorate everything. And it wasn't until all the preparations were in place, everything was ready, you would go and collect those who had agreed to come. Look at verse 17. And at the time for the banquet, he sent a servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. And this second invitation is the one that really mattered. The first invitation only required a verbal response. Love to go. Wouldn't miss it for the world. The second invitation actually required action. Everything's now ready. Come. Drop what you're doing. Drop what you're in the middle of. Leave it behind. Come and follow me, because the banquet, the great feast, is now ready. Three people have been invited to this banquet in the story Jesus told. All had agreed to go, but sadly, when it came to the crucial time to drop everything to go, they made some feeble excuses. Excuse one is found in verse 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please excuse me. What a feeble, feeble excuse. I have bought a field and I must go and have a look at it. So he's already bought the field. And the implication of what he's saying is he hasn't actually seen it, so he needs to go and have a look. What fool would buy a field without first looking at it? Okay, he could have bought a marsh. He could have bought the swampiest ground in the place. Okay, of course he had already seen the field. Of course he had already looked. There's no urgency here. He's already been examined. No man's going to hand over his money to buy a field that he hasn't already examined. And he could have waited. The field wasn't going to run off. The field wasn't going to go anywhere. And this was a banquet. And banquets in biblical times were held at night time. At night time, it would have been dark. There would have been no street lights. There would have been no torches. If he'd gone to look at the field at the time of the banquet, he wasn't going to see anything anyway. Do you know what kind of excuse this was? It was just like the dog ate my homework. It was that kind of feeble excuse. And the host of the wedding knew an excuse like this was just a token gesture. What an insult to the host of the wedding. But it wasn't the last of the lame excuses. Look at verse 19. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to examine them. Please excuse me. Who would purchase animals without first testing them, without first having a look at them? They could be 3-legged animals, for all he knows. They could be lame. A Of course he's already examined them. It's just a feeble excuse. The dog ate my homework. We're back to that level again. What an insult to the host of the wedding. But excuse number three is the best one. Look at verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He's just married, and he's henpecked already. Now, Jewish law would have kept, having a new wife would have kept you away from the battlefield. Jewish law actually stipulated, if you're just married for the first year of marriage, don't go off to battle. That first year of marriage is a crucial year. You need to spend time together as a couple. We don't want to take any new husbands out of that, out of the new married relationship, and stick them in a dangerous place like a battlefield. So the law was there to protect new husbands. But there was no requirements in the law to keep you away for a banquet one night. One night, keep you away from that kind of invitation. What a lame excuse. What an insult to the host of the wedding. And they probably all did want to go at the start. Got that invitation, great banquet, great feast. Love to go to that. Love to go as long as it suits. But sadly, these trivial things just got in the way. And instead, other people were invited. Other people took their place. And it was the unlikeliest people, the people you wouldn't expect. Look at verse 21. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and blind and the lame. Those kind of people we're told to invite in when we're showing hospitality. These are the people the Pharisees would never, ever invite to a meal. The undesirables. The people you look down upon in society. Those other people won't come. Let's invite these people in. They can enjoy the great feast instead. Now, why did Jesus tell this story? Why did he tell this parable? What's the point of the parable? There's two reasons. The reason Jesus told this parable was to challenge the Pharisee who'd come out with the spiritual statement. How blessed it will be to eat bread in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven in the future. Jesus was speaking directly to him. And as he told this story, he was probably looking this man in the eye. And that's the point of his parable. He wants to challenge this man's thinking. But this is God's word, and it's living, and it's active, and it speaks today. And so Jesus told this parable to challenge everyone who listens. Us as well as we listen to it even today. Jesus, first of all, wanted to challenge the thinking of the Pharisee because this man assumed that one day he would be in the kingdom of God. One day he would be at that great feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets. He assumed he'd be sitting at the table and he would eat bread in the kingdom of God. He was religious. He was devout. He was proud. As the Pharisees were proud of his religious achievement, maybe his birth. He was a pious pillar of society. And the religious Jews had been longing for the Messiah. They'd been longing for the kingdom of God for many, many years. That was their hope. The Messiah would come, and one day they would eat at this great feast. But here's the reality, and we don't have to go too far over in the pages of the scripture to discover that many of these proud Jews, many of these Pharisees who were sitting at the table with Jesus that day, would in fact reject the kingdom of God. They would reject Jesus Christ. They would reject his preaching and his teaching. They would reject his death and his resurrection. They would reject his gospel. They would reject Jesus' message of the kingdom. And they would also reject Jesus' invitation to come because all things are now ready. And as a result, because these religious people, these people of high standing, would reject the message of the kingdom, the invite would go out to other people. The invite of the kingdom of God would go out to the undesirable people, the unimaginable people, the people the Pharisees could never comprehend would ever be sitting at that table in the kingdom of God, people the Jews would never invite. As we work our way through the Bible, we start to see the gospel invite going out to the Samaritans and the Gentiles, people they would look down upon. And Jesus wants to challenge this man. You think you're going to be there? You think you're going to be at that great blessed feast yet to come? It's not enough to be invited. You need to respond. You need to act upon the invitation to come. And God's word continues to speak today. And God's word continues to challenge us also as we listen to this parable. Because this parable applies to us as well. You see, there's nothing more that needs to be done. There's nothing more that needs to be done for our salvation. Jesus Christ, a little while after he told this parable, would go to a cross. And there on the cross, he would die, taking the punishment, not for his sins, but for our sins. And shortly after, he would rise again from the dead. And the feast has been spread. And the invitation is free. And you're invited. Because today Jesus says, come, for everything is now ready. I have done it all. I have done it all on the cross. I have made the way for salvation, reconciliation with God. I've prepared everything. Come, because everything is now ready. And one day there will be a great heavenly feast. A great heavenly feast. And you know who will be there? It will be made up of undesirables. That day there will be unlikely people there. People who don't deserve to be there. Sinners just like you and me. Isn't that the gospel message? People who don't deserve to be there. They're only there not because of their merit, not because of their prestige, but because they've responded to the invitation. People who have responded to the call of Christ, come because everything is now ready. That's who will one day eat at that great feast in the kingdom of God. Those who have responded to the call, come because everything is now ready. Sadly, many still make lame excuses. It's true. The gospel call, the gospel invitation is there, and many still make lame excuses. The dog ate my homework. It's at that kind of level. Good people still make excuses. Religious, respectable people like the people in this story. People who are here today are still making excuses. Yes, there's the skeptics. Yes, there's the hardened atheists who have totally turned their back upon God and the invitation to come. But good, respectable people who come to church every Sunday morning are still making excuses. And some of you are sitting here this morning. And what lame excuses are holding you back from coming to Christ today? Do you know what the fact is? The people in this story that Jesus told, when they accepted the first invite, they probably wanted to attend the feast. That was probably their desire. Yeah, that sounds great. Love to be there. That feast sounds like great. I want to be there, but only if it's convenient. Only if it's on my terms. Only if it doesn't interrupt my life and my way of doing things. Yeah, love to be there, but only on my terms. But when it came to reality, when the invitation, real invitation came, come, because everything's now ready, they were too busy. They were too busy with other things. They were busy with their property deals. They were busy with their possessions. They were busy keeping their family happy. And perhaps they thought, yeah, I'll skip this one, but another invite will come. This man who's given the feast, he's a generous man. He'll have another party some other time. And if that suits, I'll come along at that time. But note the anger. Note the anger of the host for those who rejected the invitation. Look at verse 21. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servants, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, and the blind, and the lame. And then verse 24, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Those who were called, those who were invited but said, no, not in my terms, doesn't suit me now, none of those people will be there. You see, to reject the invitation is a serious thing. To reject this invitation to come because all things are now ready has serious, serious consequences. What would the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that today is the day. Come because all things are now ready. Perhaps you need to stop making excuses. Perhaps today is the day that you need to come to Christ. Come because everything is ready. If you're ready to come to Christ, why not come now? Come where you're sitting. Turn from those things that are holding you back, those lame excuses. What's holding you back from trusting Jesus Christ, becoming a Christian. Come to Christ and trust him as your Savior. Maybe you'd like to talk about it. I'd love to chat with you later. Maybe if you have come to Christ or you want to help with some more things explained, come and speak to me. I'm going to stand at the back afterwards. Come and have a chat with me, or maybe you want to speak with Paul as well. But the reality with a room this size, there are people who are still making excuses, but many of you have responded to this call. You've come to Christ. You've accepted his invitation. And praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord that we have a room full of people who have responded to this call. We are undesirables. We do not deserve to be at that table one day in heaven. That great marriage supper of the Lamb, as the Bible describes it. We don't deserve to be there, but let's give thanks that this invitation has been spread out to us. Come, because all things are now ready. What's our response to that? Well, our response should be one of thankfulness. And let's praise God that he offered that invitation to us. But as servants of the Master, we also have a responsibility. That's what we are. When you become a Christian, you are a servant to your Master, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a responsibility to invite others as well. Look at verse 23. And the Master said to the servant, "Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled." Compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. Those words remind me so much of that great commission that Jesus gave his disciples before he went back up to heaven. He was going up to heaven, he gathered his followers, and what did he say? You go into all the world. Go into the highways and the byways, the hedges. Go wherever it takes you and share the gospel. Tell people to come because all things are now ready. Tell people to come to Jesus Christ and put their trust in him. And if we are servants of the Master, that's what we need to do. We need to go and tell people to come because all things are now ready. And do you know what the key word is? The word that has really struck me here, and it has struck my heart in this verse, verse 23, is the word compel. The word compel here is actually, it's a command. That's what the Master said. He said to his servant, "I'm commanding you to compel people to come." This isn't a take it or leave it thing. Compel people to come. The word compel means to press people, to urge them, to encourage them, to plead with them. I came to Christ when I was younger. Do you know how I came to Christ? Because somebody compelled me to come. They deliberately spoke to me about Jesus Christ. And they deliberately shared the gospel with me. And they made it personal. And they compelled me to come to Christ. And I responded to that invitation. I trusted Jesus Christ to my Savior. And sadly, so much of what we put across as personal evangelism is just a take it or leave it kind of thing. I've been praying for a man at the moment, a man I want to share the gospel with. I want to have spiritual conversations with him. And I was talking to him on Friday. I said, "Love to go out for coffee with you. Let's go out and coffee, just spend some time with you." And he agreed to go out for coffee with me. And I was sort of thinking, you know, how am I going to play this? I want spiritual things, but I don't want to force it. Don't want to force this. Don't want him to think badly of me. So we'll go out for coffee, and if he brings up spiritual things, I'll be ready to share Christ. And then I read this verse. Compel people to come in. Plead with people. Urge people. This is serious. And that's a challenge for us as we're involved in personal evangelism. Who are we going to compel this week to come because all things are now ready? Who are we praying for? Who are we looking for opportunities? Lord, this week, as I go into the workplace, or as I'm in my family situation, or I'm in neighborhood, or wherever I might be, I'm out in the doors on a Tuesday doing the door-to-door work, or wherever I am, Lord, I'm praying for this person. I'm praying for opportunities that I might share Christ. That I might be able to say to people, come, because everything is now ready. Come to Jesus Christ. May that be our desire. If we have already come, that we might compel others to come. Come to Christ. May that be a challenge to each one of our hearts. Let's pray together as we think about these things. Dear Father, we thank you for these words of Jesus Christ. This parable that challenges our hearts and our minds. Lord, we pray for each one of us. If there are any excuses that are hindering us from coming, we pray, Lord God, that those excuses might be pushed aside today, that people here might come to Christ, know their sins forgiven, knowing that one day they will be with you forever and ever in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of heaven as well. And we pray for those of us who have come. May we have that desire of the servant in this story to go out into places, to share this gospel invitation with people we come in contact with. This is serious. And may we compel people, may we urge people that they too might come to Christ and taste and see that God indeed is good. Help us, we pray. Equip us, we pray. And we ask all this in Jesus Christ's great name. Amen.